Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the first Sunday of Advent, the start of the Christian year. So it's kind of Happy New Year as well then. Welcome to any visitors, and can I just say our visitor last week, the moderator of the presbytery, Alan Richardson, he gave me a nice email last Sunday night saying how much he enjoyed being with us last week. And thanks to all those who provided the special tea after the service. Harry McElreevy's not keeping so well, so we're pleased to have Gordon doing the PowerPoint once again. Thanks very much, Gordon. You have most of the intimations, but I point out that the Prayer Shawl Group meets the first Wednesday of each month, so it's 10 o'clock this Wednesday. And they're knitting hats and scarves for sailors all around the world. If anybody's got spare wool, or if anybody would like to knit some hats and scarves, then please get in touch with the Prayer Shawl Group. The Guild has Marion McIntyre. She's the national president of the Guild, or convener of the Guild. And it's not in this church, it's at St. Cuthbert's Church. So if you'd like to meet Marion McIntyre, 7:30 at St. Cuthbert's. Oh, sorry, 2 o'clock. Did you say 2? 2 o'clock. On Friday, we have our Advent group up at Audrey Scott's house. And you're all most welcome to join us. We'll be discussing Christmas in more depth. The Malawi boxes have been going out all year, and I'd like to thank the midweek worshippers for paying for the postage. So if you have any books or old tools, I commend the Malawi box. I also commend to you the food bank as usual. I'd like to thank everybody who helped with the Christmas decorations this week. As you can see, there's a lot up here and in the big hall and the small hall. So thanks for making it Christmassy. Adelaide College is holding a Christmas fair this Saturday coming, 11 till 2:30. Christmas isn't always a happy time for everybody, so Kirkgate Parish Church is putting on a blue Christmas. This is for anybody who's lost a loved one this year who'll be feeling their absence at this special time. It's on Sunday, the 15th of December, 2 o'clock in Kirkgate Parish Church. I've also been asked to intimate that Kirkgate Parish Church and Park Parish Church are having a praise night at Christmas on Thursday, the 19th of December at 7 o'clock. It'll be held in the Park Church. The Presbytery of Ardrossan is twinned with the Presbytery of Malala in Malawi. And we thought it would be a good idea as a presbytery to give a Christmas present to the other presbytery. One of the biggest killers in the world is malaria. And one of the preventions of malaria is to have mosquito nets above your bed. Mosquito nets are quite basic and simple, but they save lives. So this presbytery would like all the congregations to buy mosquito nets for congregations in Malawi. I think it's every minute somebody dies from malaria somewhere. So for £5, you can buy a mosquito net that will save lives. So if you're interested in doing that, on Tuesday night we'll be getting cards from the presbytery as thank you cards for all those who donate. But if you'd like to support that cause, please see me after the service or our presbytery elder, Kathleen McElreevy. Another bright idea that came up last week at the CAP session is these little cards, they're laminated, And they have a picture of the North Parish Church at the front. And on the back, they have Bible verses. The one I'm holding is, "The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." And it's just a nice gesture that you can give a card to somebody saying, "We're thinking about you, praying for you," and there's a little comforting verse. So if you think that's a good idea, you can pick them up for free in the small hall when you're through for your tea after the service. And just wanted to note that it was Lydia Walker's 90th birthday on Thursday. But she's not with us today because she had a wee accident and fell and spent some of it in the doctor's surgery. But I think she's not too bad, but we just congratulate her. I think these are all the intimations. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Let us worship him and sing to his praise and glory. The Advent hymn, hymn 160. Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes. The angel said to Joseph, "He shall be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we come before you on this Advent Sunday to praise and thank you for all the meaning of Christmas. O living God, who in the beginning called the creation into being. You came in Jesus to make yourself known. You come to us every day of our lives. And you are the one who will come again to bring creation to its fulfillment. May your glory be revealed in ever-growing fullness to us. As we prepare to celebrate your coming in the flesh 2,000 years ago, may we also prepare the way for your second coming at any moment. And may we prepare for your coming today and every day. Help us just to live in the awareness that you are here. You're never far away. Our best gifts and costliest sacrifices all seem so worthless, especially when we remember that you gave your very life for us. The very best feast that we could ever arrange is but a shadow of the eternal banquet and the joy in store for those who love you. The most elaborate decorations we could make or buy cannot hide the fact that there's much in our homes of which we're embarrassed. There are quarrels and misunderstandings, things that spoil our home life. Our congregation doesn't always shine out like a beacon as much as we could. In our society, selfishness and greed make a mockery of too much that we proclaim with our lips. For all that hides your glory in the life of the congregation, have mercy on us. For all the ugly corners hidden away in our home life, have mercy upon us. And for the hidden sins which we confess before you now, Lord, have mercy upon us. We thank you for your grace and mercy, for your love and forgiveness, for your patience and understanding. And we thank you for your assurance that our sins are forgiven and forgotten. O Lord, fill our hearts with your love this Advent season. Decorate our homes with the happiness which only your presence can bring. And enable your church to proclaim with a powerful prophetic voice, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold your God. Come into our stable, shine upon us, and enable us to reflect your light into the world around us. Amen." And hear us as we pray together, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Well, good morning. And the excitement grows as we get closer to Christmas. You've just reminded me, I forgot to bring mine. Well, you can open it later today. It's still today. But you see, we've got our Christmas decorations. Some of them, we've got more. But we're started. And over here, we have Advent candles. So I'd like to ask, I think today I'll ask Isabel Grant to come out and light the candles. Not just because she's the closest to them. She's always closest to them. Right, Isabel, just the first easiest one. Just check the flamethrower's working. There we go. Just pull the trigger. But Isabel's a long-standing elder. Now she's more of a long-sitting elder. But can you do this one? She's represented us at the presbytery as our presbytery elder. She's done lots of jobs over the year. You want to? There we go. Thank you. Thanks very much. So we'll just have a surprise guest appearance each week as we do the four candles and then the fifth one in the middle. The first candle is to remind us about the prophets who said it would happen. Remember that, because I'm going to ask you next week. Number one's the prophets. The greenery stands for life, blossoming. Evergreen for everlasting life. The purple stands for the colour of royalty. Jesus is the King. And the fact it's in a circle means unending. We were thinking with the wreath at remembrance, unending remembrance. You think of a wedding ring, it's round, unending love. In the Advent wreath, it's Jesus is always with us, unending. Right. Christmas has a lot to do with gifts. And you'll notice that. There's a lot of folk running around the shops, running daft. If you think back to the first Christmas, there were lots of gifts in the first Christmas story. Can you name a few? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's what I have at the end of the table. See the stuff beside the wise men? That's gold, frankincense, and myrrh, if you want to look at it closer when you're finished. Right, that's three. Open it up to anybody. I'm sitting with a big list here of 15. Think of the Christmas story. Look, there's pictures of it there. Right. Anybody else besides Evan? Right. Carry on. On you go. Well, there were angels. What was the gift? No, but with the angels, what was the gift? I mean, you could say God sent the angels. They were the gift. But what did the angels give? Well, they gave a song, didn't they? A choir of, look, see the choir of angels there. They gave good news. Today in the city of David, a Saviour is born, Christ the Lord. If you go and see him, good news for all the world. Right? What was the gifts of anybody else in the story? We'll need to help you out here. Right, what did the shepherds give then? Eh? What did they give? She's asking Mum. Well, the shepherds gave time off work. They maybe gave a wee lamb or something. They gave worship and praise. What did the shepherds get? Well done. The shepherds went away home again rejoicing. They got joy, peace, and a story to tell. Right, wise men, they gave gifts. They got the same. They gave worship. And they went home rejoicing. What did a donkey give? A ride. Right. These are not hard questions, folks. Right.
And the donkey gave help.
Right. So who else gave a help in that kind of a way?
Innkeeper.
I was thinking more of the camels. They gave a ride to the wise men. But anyway, we're back. The innkeeper, what did he give? Right. So he wasn't entirely an innkeeper, he was an inngiver. What are you going to say, Laura? Is that what you were saying? God gave a star in the sky, prophets that prophesied it would happen, and so on. Right. What about Jesus? Everybody thinks Jesus got all the gifts. What did Jesus give?
Peace.
Not you, Audrey. What was Laura going to say? All right. Peace. Well, everybody that went to see the baby went away home rejoicing, so we gave joy. And they went away home happier, and they got peace. And their journey was worthwhile. And they all went home with stories to tell. And they went home with their lives changed. And the story's gone from them right now 2,000 years to us. So Jesus gave the people there a lot of things, but he's given us a lot of things. Look at the Christmases we've enjoyed. He's still giving. What are you going to say? It's okay. Right. At the heart of what we're celebrating is it's not a story long ago, it's right now. Jesus is not a doll in a crib. He's for real. Here, we're worshipping him when we sing the hymns this morning. He's with us every day, alive and kicking now. And Jesus is the one who comes back at the end of the whole world to bring us all to heaven. So we're celebrating that he gives himself to us, and then in response we give ourselves to him. And when he gave himself to us, there was a cost. In fact, everybody in the story had a cost. When you think of Christmas, the cost of Christmas, folk are usually talking about the cost of things in the shops and the presents that you have to buy and the cost of it all. But at the heart of the Christmas story, there's a lot of giving and sharing, and it costs. It cost the donkey carrying Mary. It cost the wise men trekking from afar. It cost a lot of things in a lot of ways. But the biggest cost was Jesus leaving heaven, the comfort, the glory, the almighty powerfulness, and becoming a helpless wee baby in a manger. So he gave his self to us. And after Christmas, you know the rest of the story, he ended up, he gave his life for us. So he gives because he loves. And when you love, it can hurt. It costs. It's a sacrifice. You live for people. You give your all to them. And you sometimes lose your life. So he looks for us to love him, even if it hurts us, to be committed to him. Because love is total. It's in good days and bad days. It's forever and it's always. And it's entire, the whole of us. So let's celebrate the heart of Christmas. We'll think of it more in coming weeks. About God's total giving of himself to us and our total giving of ourselves to him in love. And the cost isn't a cost, it's a joy. Let's sing together hymn 180, Child in the Manger, 180.
Oh.
Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and at verse 18. This was how the birth of Jesus took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly, so he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this happened in order to make what the Lord had said through the prophet come true. "A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he married Mary, as the angel of the Lord had told him to do. But he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son, and Joseph named him Jesus. And turning to John's Gospel, at chapter 1 and verse 1. Before the world was created, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John the Baptist, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that cometh into the world and shines on all mankind. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. And verse 16, "Out of the fullness of his grace he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing together hymn 320, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus."
Thank you.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So we're in the run-up to Christmas. Advent Sunday today means there are 4 Sundays to Christmas. We're also in the run-up to a general election. It's only 12 days to go. 12 days of Christmas. It's the first time we've had a general election in the middle of Advent for 96 years. So this week, in the midst of all the Christmas festivity celebrations and the plays and all the shopping and everything else, we have political parties with their manifestos. What is the Christian manifesto? In a sentence, it's that text. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So let's chew over that this morning. In the midst of all the distractions of leaders' debates, phone-in discussions, Christmas cards, shopping, decorations, what is it we're celebrating in Advent? The word Advent means, it's from Latin advenire, to come. It means the coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago, every day, and his second coming to come. God was in Christ. That's the core of the message. And what was God doing in Christ? He was reconciling the world that had got estranged from him. Obviously, at Christmas, we are celebrating the birth of Jesus. We celebrate birthdays of Robert Burns, Burns Nights, or the Queen's birthday, or family or friends' birthdays. But Jesus' birthday is different. In Jesus, we don't just have a first century carpenter's son from Nazareth in the Middle East, 2,000 years ago. Who cares? His birth was more than just everybody else's birthdays. His birth was special in that it was foretold by prophets, announced by angels, attended by shepherds, visited by mysterious wise men, who were guided by a star, who brought strange gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Herod massacred the infants in Bethlehem to get rid of this one. Born in a stable, a strange birth. All noteworthy and remarkable, but that's not what's special about it, the circumstances. The reason that we recall and celebrate the birth of Jesus is because of who Jesus is and what he did after he was born. Abraham Lincoln was born in a log cabin. I've actually been there to see it. There's no great shakes in being born in a log cabin. It is just a cabin of logs. And why would anybody make the pilgrimage to go there? Well, it's because the boy in the log cabin became president of the United States. A very special man, very special president. So people like me go there. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. At the time of the birth of Abraham Lincoln, nobody made special notes. Nobody noticed the birth of Jesus apart from the people involved in the story. Bethlehem slept their way through it. The world slept its way through it. Many of the world still sleep their way through it. But when Jesus grew up and started to teach amazing teachings and started to do amazing miracles and was obviously a remarkable person, people changed their views all the time. From a good man to a great teacher to a wonderful prophet to a miracle worker. And stocks kept rising, till people began to whisper to one another, "This is the Messiah, the one in the Old Testament that was prophesied. This is God in flesh, incarnate." The word carnal means flesh. The big word for Christmas is incarnation. That God, who is spirit, became flesh and bone and blood. Could the carpenter's son in Nazareth be God Almighty on earth? Paul writes after the events to the Corinthians, God was in Christ. But what does that mean? We are celebrating the birth of God. That's a huge claim. That's the heart of the Christian gospel. If Jesus is just an ordinary man, it's nice, it's interesting, but it's not earth-changing. It's not life-changing for ourselves. In the birth of Jesus, in the life, death, resurrection of Jesus, God has got involved in human life. Our life, changing us, changing the world. God became man. John's gospel puts it, the Word became flesh. The invisible other became one of us. Matthew's gospel, he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The immortal became mortal. If you keep unpacking the thought, it gets stranger but more wonderful. The all-powerful God was wetting his nappies, if they had nappies in those days. The all-powerful God would grow up and be unable to carry his cross. The infinitely wise God was described as a fool. Spat upon, ridiculed, denied, betrayed, crucified. The creator of life was a helpless dead body taken off a cross. He who is the way, the truth, and the life was called a blasphemer, a misleader. He who is supreme washed disciples' feet. Jesus is God. Means God was gurgling in a manger. God working as an apprentice joiner in Nazareth with Joseph and Son Company. God crucified. God risen from the dead. God King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not just a great man, not just a prophet, not just an angel, not just a heavenly being, not just God's sidekick. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is God the Son. He is what we point to. He's the thing signified. We point to the sign. Jesus, who is hungry, is the bread of life. Who is weary is the one who gives us rest. Who wept is the one who can dry our tears. He who is sold for 30 pieces of silver is able to redeem our souls. He who is led like a lamb to the slaughter is the good shepherd. Jesus, who is called a devil, was the one able to cast out demons. Jesus who died is the resurrection and the life. If Jesus is not God, there's very little evidence for God. We just look at a night sky and make guesses. There might be somebody somewhere. Without Jesus, God is not revealed to us. If Jesus is not God, then God is someone up in the sky, remote, distant, aloof, untouched, unmoved. He doesn't know how it feels from the inside. He hasn't walked in our shoes, know how we feel. If Jesus isn't God, God has not dealt with the sins of the world. If God and us have got estranged, we've fallen out because of our sin, what has God done about it? If God has just sent a sidekick to deal with it, who got crucified for his efforts, and God sent him knowing he would get crucified, God looks in a bad light. And we don't believe in two gods anyway. He doesn't send anybody else. It's him himself. He comes. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Trinity God, was involved in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Let's put it all positively. Jesus is God. So God is revealed. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. How do you know if God is loving? Because Jesus loves. We know what God is. Excuse me. We know God's name. It's Jesus. We know him personally. Jesus loves me. That personal relationship is us and God. Paul put it to the Colossians, Jesus is the visible face of the invisible God. And when Jesus is God, it means God knows how we feel. He's been there, got the t-shirt. We've a God with nail-pierced hands. When we pray in an extremity, God says, I know. I've been there myself. I know, not because I know everything from the outside. I know because I've had it on the inside. I've been human too. I am human too. And when he revealed himself in a way we can relate to, in a human way, it has the advantage, it shows us what a perfect human life would look like. If we want to know how to live, we copy Jesus. If Jesus was so wholly other and not fully human, he'd be too holy to copy. But he comes and lives a life with all our limitations and says, that's the way you can do it. He had to let go of his greatness to come down and be little. And he shows us how to live as little people in the little world, the little ups and downs. And when God is Jesus, he reconciles us to himself. When two people fall out, it kind of needs a link person. If my family fell out with Patricia's family, I could represent my family, but I could stand with the other family too. And I would be the middleman that joins the two. We did God a disservice by all the wrong things that we did. Only God can forgive, and only we can say sorry. In coming to be a human being amongst us, Jesus stood with us in the dock, and Jesus took the sin and guilt of us all and said sorry. And as God, he can say, I'll take all the hurt and I won't hurt you back. I forgive. It's only in the God-man, the mediator, in Jesus, that there can be reconciliation. So God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, says Paul. So we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the birth of God, and the birth of ourselves, because when we're reconciled, he's forgiven all our sins, and he forgets all our sins, and the slate's wiped clean, and we get a new start, And it's like pristine white snow that nobody's walked on. It's a new beginning for us. The shepherds went home rejoicing. The wise men went home rejoicing because they were like new people. A fresh start. So we come this Christmas time like shepherds, like wise men, from near or far, with all our aches and pains, worries and cares, sins and guilts. And we come to this Jesus, and he transforms our lives. He gives us a release from all our sins. We now know that we are loved by God. We now know the loving God. We are reconciled to him. We are friends forever. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like us as praise should sing? So that's what we're celebrating this Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the glorious gospel of the fact that you are involved in our lives and we can be involved in your life and we're wedded together forever. And so we commit our time, talents, money and our whole selves to you. Amen. Let's sing hymn 169, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Does man with man do well?
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you for coming down from heaven to reach out to us who could never reach up to you. We thank you for incarnating your love, for standing with us shoulder to shoulder, for walking in our shoes, for embracing our human lot, for accepting frailty and temptation and pain and grief, for taking up all our sin and guilt, and for enduring our punishment and death, for rising triumphantly over everything for us, for being our champion. For this Advent, on this Advent Sunday, when we celebrate your coming to us, long ago, today, and always, we also come to you in response. We love you too. We commit ourselves to you. We will live for you and die for you. We offer ourselves to you. Work in us, work through us. And on this Advent Sunday, we also pray for your blessing on all those who come to others in love. We think of all the emergency services rushing to people's aid, such as the fire, the police, the ambulance crews, the lifeboat crews, snow plows. We think of people coming to the help of people if they're attacked on London Bridge. We think of people as care workers. There are 6,000 care workers in Ayrshire alone, and there are family carers. We give thanks and pray for your blessing upon all doctors and nurses, charity workers, preachers, elders, Sunday school teachers, social workers, day school teachers, all who come to others in love, incarnating that love in practical ways. Make us all your hands and feet and voice, the instruments through which you reach others. We pray today in particular for those who are ill. We pray for Jim Forsyth and Morag Conway and Peter Curran, who are all in hospital. We pray for Harry McElreevy, Margaret Curlett, Lydia Walker, Harry Duff. We pray for your comfort and peace at this Christmas season upon those who are bereaved. We think of Susan Gill, who's mourning the loss of her nephew Bruce, who died at the age of 57. And we pray for his parents, Tom and Vera, and all who are mourning at this time. We think of the wider world. We think of the terrorist attack on London Bridge on Friday, with 5 people stabbed and 2 killed. We live in a world of violence and terrorism all over the world. We pray for Zimbabwe, where 60% of the population are starving and dependent on food aid. 80% are unemployed, and there's 380% inflation. We pray for people in Vietnam, mourning the loss of the 39 people who died in a lorry trailer. We think of the flooding in Venice and in England, and the bushfires in Australia and California. And we pray for your blessing on the UN climate conference in Madrid this week. We think of the Hong Kong situation, where the protesters won 85% of last week's election. We pray for a peaceful resolution in the end. We think of the violence rising with the Israelis and Palestinians. We pray for our own country as we go to the election on December the 12th. And MPs of all parties are getting death threats. We think of our country using more plastic than ever before. 54 bags for life per household last year. And we think of Africa, where there's one psychiatric nurse for every 500,000 people, or one psychologist for every 1,000,000 people. And we pray for your church in this world. As a presbytery, we're thinking today of Kilmore, linked with Lamlash, and the Reverend Lily McKinnon, who's coming back after a long illness. But use us as the angels spreading the good news. Use us as the wise men and shepherds going home spreading the good news. Amen. Let's sing hymn 179, See in Yonder Manger Low.
Such a world as this.
As the shepherds went home rejoicing, as the wise men went home worshipping, and as Simeon and Anna went home content, so may we all go home rejoicing, worshipping, and content, because we too have seen the love of God in Jesus Christ.